The year is 1918. The bloody conflict of World War I is drawing to a close. The lethal pandemic of the Spanish flu is spreading through the U.S. and around the globe. American women are pushing for self-determination and the right to vote. And that year, the Pulitzer Prize for Drama went to Why Marry? A comedy by Jesse Lynch Williams. My name is Jan Simpson. Welcome to All the Drama, a podcast about the plays and musicals that have won American theater's highest accolade, the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Why Marry was the first play to win that honor, and its author, Jesse Lynch Williams, was a man of all letters, journalism, short stories, novels, and plays. Born in 1871 to a Presbyterian minister and his wife, Williams spent his boyhood in St. Louis, Missouri, and then went off to Princeton University. There, he and his best friend, Booth Tarkington, who had also won a Pulitzer Prize in 1918 for his novel, The Magnificent Ambersons, co-founded the Triangle Club, the theatrical group still known to this day for creating an original musical each year that features topical humor and a kick line. Over the years, the Triangle's famous members have included the director Josh Logan and the actors Jimmy Stewart, Jose Ferrer, and Brooke Shields. After college, Williams served as a newspaper reporter, a magazine editor, and eventually as editor of the Princeton Alumni Weekly. But all the while, he kept writing fiction on the side. His big breakthrough came in 1906 with the publication of a short story called The Stolen Story, which he based on his experiences as a reporter, and which he quickly adapted as a play that same year. Like such playwriting contemporaries as Philip Barry, Sidney Howard, and Robert Sherwood, most of Williams' theatrical work centered around the kind of upper-middle-class people who could afford to go to the theater. So Why Marry is a drawing-room comedy filled with rich people. But borrowing a page from George Bernard Shaw, Williams used his characters to explore social issues of the day. In this case, it's how marriage affected what was then known as the new woman. So Williams looked at the reasons rich people got married, including the desire for money, status, children, sex, and even love, through the relationship of four couples in one family. John, a traditional alpha male, is married to the meek Lucy, whose sole ambition is to be a good old-fashioned wife. John's young sister, Jean, has set her sights on their very rich neighbor, even though she's actually in love with a much poorer law school student. Meanwhile, their uncle Everett, a judge, is being threatened with divorce by his wife after 25 years of marriage because they've both grown tired of making compromises to one another's eccentricities. But the play's main couple are John and Jean's sister Helen, one of the era's new women who has gone to college, studied science, and wants to pursue a profession as a researcher, and Ernest, the scientist Jean loves, but would rather work alongside than marry because she fears that becoming his wife will limit her ability to have a career. This is a comedy, so Williams figures out happy endings for everyone, including one of the weirdest weddings I've ever seen or read. The play was well received, although the Times seems to have chided it for its open attitude toward divorce, prompting Williams to write a tongue-in-cheek letter to the editor defending his play. A member of that year's Pulitzer jury reportedly said, "I have seen Why Marry and find it an admirable piece of comedy. There are some things in the piece which I do not like, but on the whole, it is the best piece of drama I have seen this year." I found a recording of Why Marry, and I'm going to play just a little bit so that you can get a sense of its language and style.
"All the same, Helen, the men, really nice men, don't like it. Well, you see, I don't like really nice men, so that makes it agreeable all around.
If it were only art, or music, or something feminine. But that awful laboratory. How can a lady poison poor innocent little monkeys?
If I were a lady, I'd dine with monkeys. Do you know what the word means, Lucy? In Anglo-Saxon times, lady meant one who gives loaves. Now, one who takes a loaf.
Very clever, my dear. But some day you'll be sorry. No man, Helen, likes a woman to have independent views.
Helen can afford to have independent views. She has an independent income. She earns it.
Independent income? Her salary wouldn't pay for your hats.
All the same, I wish I had gone to college. I wish I had learned a profession.
What have these new women accomplished? Just one thing. They are destroying chivalry.
Neither Williams nor Why Marry are much remembered today, but the East Lynne Theatre Company in Cape May, New Jersey, which specializes in classic American plays, has produced the play three times, most recently in 2013. So I called up its artistic director, Gail Stallhuth, to find out why. Hi, Gail. Thanks for joining us to talk about Why Marry. So I'm going to just start off by asking, how many times has East Lynne done the play?
Well, we first did it back in 2006, and it was so successful, most nights sold out, that we brought it back again in 2007. One of the actors, Ken Glickfeld, was a member of the Players Club, and when he mentioned the possibility of at least having a staged reading there, they were very excited. So we actually had the staged reading in May of 2013, and that was actually the first time that Why Marry had been on a New York stage since 1918.
Wow. How did you guys first encounter the play?
I spend a lot of time in the library, and I was just looking for plays, which the good news is, and what makes it easy for me to look for these things is we have an apartment in Manhattan, good rent, as well as a place down here in Cape May. So there are several months during the winter, although I'm still running the company, where I can run to the New York Public Library. And it was there that I was perusing the books and looking for titles and came across an anthology called American Plays of the New Woman. And it happened to have this script in it. When I even cross-referenced it and looked for Why Marry to see if it was in any other publication, it didn't even have it listed in the New York Public Library system.
So what attracted you to it? Its rareness or the content of the play or the language of the play? What grabbed you?
Well, the thing is, just because East Lynne Theatre Company focuses on classics, they're relevant. There's no need to produce a play unless it's relevant or timely or ties in with something that's historic but worthy of talking about. And such is the case with Why Marry. For one thing, Broadway producers were very shy of it because it was so provocative. I mean, here you have a young woman who is so much in love with the man she works with, a fellow scientist, that she doesn't want to marry him because that would ruin their relationship. And this wasn't voiced at that time. And so that's why it was very wonderful to be able to find this script. The fact that it was eventually produced by Broadway, but only after Broadway producers saw a staged reading of it. And then they saw that it was humorous and still provocative, and the characters are charming. Nothing's dated about the language at all. I did make some cuts here and there because there were some places that it got repetitive, but it's a good play.
Does it speak at all to women today? The choices that women have are so different from those of even the new women of the turn of the last century.
Yes, we do approach things a little differently today, but yet there are some women who will marry the person because they want to be taken care of and provided for, and there are some women who don't think that marriage is necessary, and we certainly have that reflected. The third woman involved in Why Marry is, well, it's strongly suggested by her older brother that she marry the next-door neighbor, who's a millionaire, because that would help his business. The three women are in different places. The one who did marry well does, in the middle of the play, after she's been hearing other discussions over breakfast, does say to her husband, "Would you be terribly upset if I left you?" And he says, "What do you mean left?" "Oh, you know, leave, go away, divorce." And, you know, that not only would solicit a laugh from the audience, but she's been paying attention to what's been going on with her husband's two sisters, and it brings out an interesting discourse. In the state of New York, divorce wasn't even a possibility until around 1900. So it was a whole new it was a whole new thing to discuss when it came to short stories, novels, and plays. Many critics of the time, including the New York Times, compared Why Marry to a good play written by George Bernard Shaw, because mm-hmm. up to that point, even in America, everybody thought Shaw was the go-to writer, and Americans couldn't possibly write like Shaw. And suddenly, we have this script written by Jesse Lynch Williams, and people did think that it was worthy.
Why do you think it's more or less disappeared? Why isn't this, if not in the major canon, why isn't the title one that we remember, or the playwright himself one that we remember?
I think it was all in the timing, because it opened on Broadway in December of 1917, which means that we had entered the war, World War I. And then it played into 1918, which was when the pandemic was going on, and they were, at that time, they didn't close Broadway theaters, but they socially distanced them inside. And the other thing, when the show went on the road, the main, well, not the main character, but the one, the headliner who played the uncle, was a household name. And when he died, instead of replacing him, the producers just closed the show. But I also think by that time the pandemic was out there, and it probably was just as easy. So I tend to think that that might be part of it. As far as Jesse Lynch Williams, he ended up being one of the Pulitzer Prize judges himself. Well, he did write other plays, but he never had the same success. And so he went back to more or less short story writing.
How have your audiences responded to the play? They clearly like it. What do you feel that they were responding to?
Well, for one thing, the humor. There are some out loud laugh lines in this. I mean, guffaws, not just smiles, but you laugh. It is a good comedy, and I think that is what propels it. And certainly, we still do George Bernard Shaw today, not because the women are facing the same things, like in Major Barbara, but because there are laugh lines, and we like the characters. And I believe the same thing is very true of what our audiences saw in Why Marry. They liked the characters. They liked the comedy. The plot, with a little cutting, zips right along. And it's very interesting to get the different discourses of why people marry, should people marry, and then why bother marrying, because then it's going to upset somebody's career, and that will be the woman's.
Well, Gail, thank you for doing this, and I hope that before too long, you and your audiences are able to get back into the theater and do more classic American plays, if not another production of Why Marry.
Well, I hope so, too. We can't do large plays right now. We are going to be starting our season in mid-June, but doing it outdoors, and then hopefully going indoors in the fall. And basically, our 2020 season will be what will roll out in 2022, which I hope to include Why Marry, along with Born Yesterday and a new play called Possessing Harriet, about a runaway slave. Not Harriet Tubman, someone else.
That sounds right within your ballpark of classic American plays and new plays rooted in American history. And I'm sure some of our listeners will get there to see at least one of them. And hopefully, Why Marry?
Thank you.
Why Marry was made into a short black and white film in 1924, which I haven't seen. And Williams wrote a sequel called Why Not, which I haven't even read, but that I gather went even further in exploring divorce and ran for a then respectable 120 performances. But his only other produced play was something called Lovely Lady, which flopped, running just 21 performances. Still, Williams will always have the honor of being the very first playwright to win the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Thanks for listening to his story. I hope you'll come back next time and that you'll listen to all the other Broadway radio podcasts, and that if you aren't already doing so, you'll consider making a contribution to support our work, which you can do at patreon.com/broadwayradio.